and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Introducing Wind River Linux 5. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers Chris Berger and Davide Ricci from Wind River. Today's schedule consists of a 50-minute presentation, leaving about 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the hour for the audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run through some features of your audience console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit a question at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind, and we'll address as many of these questions as possible during the closing Q&A. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too, and our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Finally, this eCast will be posted online within 24 hours, and an audio podcast will also be made available. We'll talk about this more at the end of the presentation. Our presenters are Chris Berger and Davide Ricci from Wind River. Chris is a Senior Director of Open Platforms Products at Wind River. Prior to Wind River, Chris led handset engineering, QA, and technical project management teams at Virgin Mobile USA. And before that, he led applications development at Helio. Chris has also spent more than 10 years leading product management and strategic consulting at Ixia Communications, Nomadics, and Data Monitor. Chris has a BA in European Business from Ashcroft Business School in Cambridge and a Diplom Kaufmann degree from the Berlin School of Economics in Germany. Davide Ricci is a senior product manager, Wind River Linux. His passion for Linux began when he was still a student at Politecnico di Milano, Italy, pursuing his bachelor degree in computer science and engineering. Davide also obtained his master's degree in computer science and engineering with a thesis on artificial intelligence and robotics. Since then, Davide has worked in the embedded industry as a developer, building Linux-powered devices from network switches to aerospace and defense platforms. He later became field applications engineer in 2006, where he helped customers design, develop, and deploy their applications using Wind River Linux. Now as a senior product manager for Wind River, Davide is helping to shape the future of Wind River Linux family of products. We'll start the presentation with Chris. Chris, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the session on introducing Wind River Linux 5. We're very excited about introducing a new offer for Wind River, a new version of Wind River Linux. And Davide and I will have a conversation about what we bring to market, why it matters, and how we can help you to develop the next generation Wind River Linux offer. I think we're having some small issues with the audience view, so let me just fix that right now. All right. Kurt, can you please proceed to the next slide?
Sure. It's in compatibility in practice, the Yocto project workflow, and now the yellow blocks have been sliding.
I'd like to go to slide number 2.
Okay. Okay, it's up in the audience view.
All right. So let's talk about Wind River Linux 5 and some of the common challenges that we've seen customers have when developing next-generation Wind River Linux devices. A picture that's very often shown is that of an iceberg that only shows like a small percentage of the challenges that are associated with creating a viable Linux distribution. We have developed technology to attack some of these challenges and develop a custom solution for you. But before we go into this, Davide, why don't you start and explain some of the common industry challenges that people see when developing a next generation Linux stack.
Yep. So let me. So first of all, thank you, Chris. So I see we still have some problem with the slide. All right. So I took control for a second and push slide number 4. So I think that the main word that describes the issue with the industry is fragmentation. So it's pretty evident that Linux has penetrated the embedded industry since quite some while. And if you look at the statistics, a good 60-70% of devices today are being designed with Linux on board. But, you know, this traction of this technology in this market has just, you know, made the overall perception of fragmentation even bigger and higher. And so let's think about an analogy. When you install Linux on your computer, you can go out on the internet and download Fedora or Ubuntu or, you know, CentOS or Debian. So you have, you know, many choices. You can pick up the one that you prefer, and then you start installing your operating system on your computer. And then the first thing you want to do after the operating system has been installed is add a package. And that package might or might not be available for your distribution. Let's assume that it's not. Let's assume that you have selected Debian, and now, you know, you need a package that it's available with Fedora. So what you do, you go search for that package on the Fedora repository online, you download the RPM, and now what do? How do you have the RPM working on Debian? So that's an example of the fragmentation that you face out there, right? There's not just one single place you can go fetch your stuff. There's choice is freedom, of course, you know, but at the same time create some challenges. Now, in the embedded industry, it's even worse because you do not install your software. You don't download Fedora or Debian and try to install onto your target. You install onto your host development machine, and then you usually start from a set of packages, and then you build, or even worse, you cross-build. So you cross-build your packages, you know, on your host development machine that most of the time is, you know, an Intel-based machine, and then you cross-build against a different target. It can be Intel, can be PowerPC, can be ARM, can be MIPS. So the fragmentation, it's even worse because, you know, you have a much more complex workflows that you had to go through. And as a result, you waste your time and your effort and your resources, you know, on low-value work such as taking a package and, you know, importing and making it cross-build multiple times again and again for different targets. And, you know, doing this all the time whenever you decide to change your device is leaving you with less time for developing the interesting and differentiating features that are, you know, making your device so unique, because it's not the operating system or installing packages which make your device unique in the market. So this is just an analogy to explain how much, you know, how much the fragmentation is creating really, you know, such problems for this industry, which is not building, which is not installing, but it's, you know, cross-building Linux devices.
All right. And Davide, how do you see the industry responding to this challenge? I mean, it's been fragmentation in embedded Linux has been a problem for the last 10 years. And, you know, what has really changed? What have you seen changed in the last couple of years that is really making a difference?
Yeah. So, something drastic has happened. I think that the positively that's drastic. So the industry kind of realized this a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. Well, the problem was well known. And if you think about, you know, what happens when you had to build your device, let's say you selected a Freescale board or a Texas Instruments, right? And you want to make sure that, you know, when you make your selection for hardware, or, you know, maybe you have a low-end device or high-end device, you want to use a Freescale board and a TI board. So it's just an example, you know, thinking out loud. So what you do usually, you purchase a reference kit from Freescale and one from TI. And then, you know, those reference kits come to you, and then they usually come with different system, Linux system, a different Linux SDK, which has a different build system. And so if you have maybe your software and you want to see how your software performs on these two different boards, you got to get used to the Freescale build system and the TI build system. And then, you know, you port your software and the two build system compile different set of packages and a different kernel. So as a user, you're never in the position to take fact-based decisions because you try to compare to make an apple-to-apple comparison, or you just, you know, try to actually move your software from here to there. And to do so, there's a lot of time, you know, waste of effort, which is requested. So the industry leader decided to come together and sit at the table. And we have leaders like Intel and Freescale and TI and Cavium Networks and LSI and Wind River and Monta Vista and Mentor and, you know, you name it. They're sitting at the same table to try to fix this problem. And they came with a project, an open source project, whose name is the Yotta Project. It's a project that is under the umbrella of the Linux Foundation. And the goal, you know, the ambitious objective is to reduce fragmentation of the overall industry by fixing the problems that I've just described. Technically, it comes with a common build system, a common set of tools like, you know, common kernels and packages, and a common set of recipes for cross-building those packages thanks to the common build system. It comes with cross-platform compatibility, cross-platform tool chain, and the idea is that you want to increase the interoperability between the components and the software components. And then again, you want to increase the portability of your software and middleware. You want to be able to move, thanks to the tools and technology of the Yotta project, your software from here to there, from, you know, one platform to another, from one architecture to another. At the end of the day, what the Yotta project is being able to achieve is, you know, increased reuse and collaboration between open source community, open source leaders, and commercial operating system vendors. So at the end of the day, you want to think, if you want to think about the Yotta project and what it does, it reduces fragmentation, and it's not a distribution. Again, back to the analogy, it's not like Red Hat, Fedora, CentOS. It is something, it is a project that provides you tools and technology to create a custom distribution for you.
That's interesting, Davide. But, you know, for a lot of the Linux projects, you know, one of the hallmarks that they have, you know, whether you take Genevi or even Android, is that they create some sort of compatibility process or certification to make sure that people can freely create software that interoperates and that works with each other. What has been the Yocto project solution for this?
Oh, thank you, Chris. That's a fantastic question. So I said the Yocto project was funded in 2010, and it's, you know, now under the umbrella. Since the very beginning, it's been under the umbrella of the Linux Foundation. Is that enough to make sure that the goal, the ambitious goal of reducing fragmentation by creating a common set of tools and technology is achieved? Well, the answer is kind of evident, and the answer is no. You know, it's goodwill is it's something good to have, but most of the time it's not enough. So you got to make sure that you have a set of technical requirements that are built to make sure that the goal of the project itself can be met, that the promise to the users can be met. Otherwise, the brand of the project will diminish over time because it's not going to be clear what being Yotta project means, what building projects and products based on the Yotta project means. So the advisory board of the Yotta project, which is an entity, you know, it's a board where all the industry leaders that are participating and taking active participation in the Yotta project sit and vote and decided to have an initiative, a compliance initiative, and it was back in April 2011. And the result of the initiative, so the goal of the initiative was, let's build a set of requirements that, you know, you have to comply with and you have to meet in order to declare your product or your board support package as the Yotta project compatible. If you meet those requirements, we know for sure that you're using the author project build system, you're using the author project layer, your board support packages are, you know, coded and built according to the BSP coding standard. You are targeting the LTSI kernel to reduce fragmentation around the kernel choice, and your software can build with the author project toolchain. So, you know, these requirements have been ratified, and the author project compatibility badges have been announced during the LinuxCon back in San Diego at the very end of August. So the overall goal of this requirement at the end of the day is that you can combine something that is the author project compatible, one piece with another piece, and it'll just work together.
Okay.
Or you
and
can you can take a Yotta project compatible, you know, piece and just, you know, plug in on top of another Yotta project compatible product, and you can move software around between Yotta project compatible products. So it's as an industry, I think we all have we have to ask our vendors, and you have to ask your vendors to build out the project compatible products, because that's the only way you can make sure that the software that comes to you, you know, with the reference board or through your commercial vendor, it's something that you can, you know, easily port your software to and, you know, increase interoperability and compatibility. So ask your vendor to build out the project compatible products.
Okay, and then, you know, Windriver is one of the leading embedded software vendors, a very large company, and, you know, but the reality in open source is that, you know, a lot of projects get started and then abandoned or you know, maybe start to fizzle out. You know, how would you quantify some of the, you know, commitment that Windriver is making to the Yocto project?
Yep, thank you. So, you should now see on the screen the nice pie chart. So this is just the commitment that Windriver has made to the Yocto project since March 2012, when we actually started building and intercepting the Yocto project technology with our Windriver Linux 5. So Windriver is a founding member of the Yocto project since 2010, and it's been a gold member of the Yocto project since then. And the gold member of the Yocto project is actually, you know, a member that has voting ability and, you know, can help the Yocto project taking the right decision to meet its goal. That's the political entity. Of course, we have, you know, many engineers since the very inception and foundation of the Yocto project who are active contributors to the Yocto project. If you think about, you know, the maintainer of the Yocto project kernel, you would think about Bruce Ashfield, for instance, who is, you know, not by chance the Windriver Linux 5 kernel maintainer since, you know, Windriver Linux was built back in 2003, if I remember well. And so if you look about, if you look at the multi-lib and user space and RPM maintainer role, this is up to Mark Hutley, and, you know, he's another core member of our Windriver Linux team. So, you know, we have, Windriver has contributed back to the community and the author project such relevant technical experts that are today holding, you know, out of eight maintainer and technical lead positions in the author project. So far, Windriver has contributed more than 1,550 total code commits and more than 26,000 lines of code. And again, on the right side of the slide, you can see the number of commits made to the OE core. The OE core is the layer that contains all of the user space packages in Yocto, made by Windriver since, you know, March, in the very last 6 months, where, you know, when the entire team of Windriver Linux has started to build Windriver Linux 5 based on Yocto. And you can see that Windriver alone has the 20% of the overall commits since March 2012. Another big contributor is Intel. The others have around 25% altogether.
So, Davide, what you're saying is that, you know, Windriver Linux traditionally created its own Linux distribution and associated tools, but now with the Yocto project, Windriver Linux and the new release 5 is really a landmark, or it's a real change in Windriver's approach to Yocto. So tell me a little bit more about this and where we are, where Windriver is right now with regards to the Yocto project, in adopting the Yocto project infrastructure as well as compatibility.
Yep, so that's a very good question, because I've been asked that question multiple times. So when I explain the problems as we've done 5 minutes ago, the fragmentation in the industry, and I answer with, hey, look, the Yotta project is providing you with this possibility today, this common, you know, set of technology and tools. You know, people answer back, oh, I understand, but Wind River Linux was supposed to do this since the very beginning. And in fact, that is true. So Wind River has its own build system, a cross-platform build system called LDAT, Wind River Linux, and, you know, its own set of recipes and its own kernel and its own set of user space packages and toolchain. So the cross-build paradigm was, you know, the main use case of the Wind River Linux platform and has been the main use case of the Wind River Linux platform since 2003. But the fragmentation on the industry can be just solved and fixed if you work together with your partner, you know, in an open source project and under the Linux Foundation. So the trajectory that Wind River has followed has been to, you know, help funding the Yotta project, help having the Yotta project, you know, becoming more mature and stable and, you know, creating critical mass around the project by contributing lean engineers and technology to it. And now in 2012 and 2010, we are intersecting the technology with Wind River Linux 5. So the the popular brand of our product, Wind River Linux, is now intersecting the Yotta project. Wind River Linux 5 is based on the Yotta project infrastructure, and Wind River Linux 5 has achieved Yotta project compatible registration. So to be even more straight, it means that today you can take Wind River Linux 5, you can take any Yotta project compatible software, board support package, or middleware. You can combine together, and they can easily work together. So there's the Yotta project compatibility set of requirements that is starting to hold the industry together. So Wind River Linux 5 is a Yotta project compatible product. Take a board support package, which is Yotta project compatible. Bring them together. They'll work easily. There's the effort needed to make them work is very small and little compared to what you had to do, what you had to go through in the past.
And Davide, that's a pretty bold claim. I mean, can you back it up with some additional detail?
Let's look at the next slide. So how this is going to work in practice, and this is more for the friends out there that don't know quite well how the cross-build world works, or, you know, need to know where the compatibility is basically at play. There are two places where the compatibility is at play. You had to use the build system and the packages and the recipes of the Yotta project to make sure that, you know, you can take a Yotta project compatible software and someone else using the Yotta project build system can actually take that as an input and build a binary. And you had to use the Yotta project layers as a mean to encapsulate your software, you know, so that it can provide as an input to the Yotta project build system. So if you want to start from the very first, you know, the very first place you want to look at is the Yotta project workflow and how the build system works. So this slide has some animation, so let's hope that this is going to work, and I'll try to make it easy. So in the embedded Linux world, you start from your sources, your packages and kernel. A tar.gz package, a tar.gz kernel, a source RPM, you name it. So you start from the source. You don't start from the binary. You can start from the binary for convenience, but most of the time you start from the source because you are cross-building, you're not installing. So the system, the build system, start from the same set of packages, and from that very same set of packages has to build binary for different architectures. So in order to do so, in order to know how to build packages, and how to fine-tune packages based on users' configurations or machine board support package configuration or policy configuration, you have, you know, those metadata, those inputs come into play. So source and metadata. And metadata tells the build system, which is the next big element, how to cross-build a source. So you basically, the build system goes through a source fetching, patching the sources in case you have any patch for fixes, security fixes, applying the metadata, the recipes. So the real name, the technical name is a recipe because you're cooking something, you're baking something. Not by chance the build system is named BitBake because you're baking bits all together. So you start from the source, take the recipes, the build system fetch the source, patch the application, apply the recipes, and generate your binaries. So when you generate your binaries, the very last step of the build process is to create your images and then create your application development SDK. So the images is the image that you run onto your target. The application development SDK contains a sysroot and a link to the toolchain so that your application developer can use that very image and that very toolchain to cross-build application and run them onto the image. And you can use Simulator to simulate that image. You don't have to have a real target available. You can use QEMU, for instance. Well, to make the process even more easy and simple, as a result of your, you know, building, you can actually create package feeds. And the package feed is basically like, you know, an RSS feed as a place where the packages are coming from. You can fetch the package in binary format. So think about Debian or, you know, or SUSE or OpenSUSE. They fetch binary package from the network when you had to install onto your target, onto your computer. So the package feeds are pretty much the same. You have begun with the source, but now you are creating. Finally, at the very least, you're creating packages that you can push to your target through a package feed. So you got to be compliant with all of this build mechanism to make sure that, you know, your software is Yocto project compatible. And your software in particular has to be, you know, packaged in a way that contains the source, which is, you know, the orange upper layer there, and contains recipes so that the build system knows how to cross-build your source, how to cross-build your board support packages. And if I go to the next slide, a very good way to encapsulate that information is through the concept of a layer. So think of a layer like, you know, a layer that contains source, recipes, patches, and that very layer can be provided as an input to the build system so that the build system can fetch its content from this layer. So the layers provide a very nice mechanism for encapsulating the content and provide a very nice mechanism for organizing the functionality into separate packages. So think about a board support package. A board support package, it's a very isolated logical unit that fits very nice into the concept of a layer. So if you have a Yocto project compatible layer, you know, that so it means that basically it's attached to a BSP. Think about it, a BSP. It follows the coding standard for BSPs, and it builds against the Yocto project toolchain and, you know, builds against the LTSI Yocto project kernel. Then the layer is even better because you just don't have a layer that builds with Yocto. You have a layer which is compatible with Yocto, which means that you can actually combine with other Yocto project compatible layer, and the build system will just make its work. And, you know, you will have image generation pretty soon with minimum hassle.
So thanks, Avide. I mean, this has been a great introduction to Yocto and how it's useful and how it's being used. But now let's talk about Wind River Linux. I mean, you're showing this big block of Wind River Linux value add layer. You know, why should somebody actually consider Wind River Linux 5?
Yeah, so let's start from a technology perspective, the technical specification of the system. So we said already Wind River Linux 5 is based on Yocto, so it is Yocto project compatible. It uses Yocto project as the upstream source, so we fetch out of the Yocto project kernel and user space packages. It is based on the Linux LTSI long-term support initiative kernel 3.4, which is a very important step. The Yocto project announced a recent collaboration at LinuxCon in San Diego, and, you know, joint effort with the LTSI group, again, another initiative under the Linux Foundation umbrella. And the objective of this group is to create a kernel that is stable for more than 3 months, right? Because the usual behavior is to actually contribute your software and patches upstream against the very latest kernel, right? But this doesn't work very well for the industry. So the LTSI group is trying to create a golden kernel where, you know, all of the latest enhancement and patches are backported by this group. So the Yocto project has, you know, it's going to have 1.3 release, 3.4 kernel, which is the kernel identified by the LTSI group to be a golden kernel. So Wind River Linux 5 has that, and Wind River Linux 5 ships with the GNU toolchain 4.6.3, which is hardened, and pretty much around 900 user space packages. So you can, you know, you probably not going to, you know, miss a package. So if you need a package, likely it's going to be among those 900. The build, bake, build system, we explain what it is and how it works. The build, bake layers, and we explain, you know, what they are and how they work. And, of course, Windriver Linux is a cross-architecture system. And, you know, and you can actually cross-build your image for x86, for IPCR, MIPS, 32 and 64 bits. But this is just technology, right? I mean, the YOTA project is supposed to provide this. And Windriver, of course, hardens all this technology, but this is coming from the YOTA project. It is the main goal of reducing fragmentation, stick to a common set of tools and technologies. So what are the values that Windriver Linux has around the YOTA project? So let's start from the very core. So YOTA project, tools, and runtime. And this is what we have seen, right? So kernel, toolchain, and, you know, to make sure that we can work nicely with other YOTA project components, we achieve YOTA project compatibility. So, again, ask for YOTA project compatible layer. It means that if you come to us with the YOTA project compatible layer, they will work on top of Windriver Linux 5. So now you take this runtime and you, you know, bring it to a commercial grade quality. So bring a runtime to a commercial grade quality leads to predictable support and predictable maintenance. So we basically run, you know, our testing onto multiple hosts. So we took the YOTA project runtime, ran all the test cases that are based on customers' use cases, of course, that we have on 14 hosts with, you know, 29 initial BSP targets. Think about this process going overnight. Anytime we have a fix, we rerun regression, hundreds of different configuration, pretty much, you know, around 5,000 unit test cases. Think about this, again, running overnight, 100,000 test run with a 25 gigabyte test log. This just gives you an idea of the level of quality and testing that the YOTA project runtime goes through before it can be shipped and branded, you know, as Windriver Linux 5. So on top of it, of course, when you ship your devices, you're shipping your devices in, you know, this worldwide world. It's a commercial world, so you need to comply with export compliance control. So this is a due diligence that Windriver has to go through before we can ship the YOTA project runtime and brand it Windriver Linux 5. And, you know, similar to export control regulation, you have the open source disclosure document. So you're shipping open source software, and you need to be aware of the license's implication for each of the packages that you ship. So Windriver does exactly this. So we take the YOTA project runtime, and we basically go through a process, and we build SPDX files for over 900 packages that we ship. So an SPDX file, for those of you who don't know, SPDX is a format. Again, you know, it's an initiative from the Linux Foundation to basically place on a file information about licensing for open source files. Example, this file is under GPL v3 and LGPL, you know, and these licenses are compatible. So for each of the packages, you need to know, you know, information about which licenses are really there if you want to be able to comply with, you know, the implication that each license might have. So on top of it, is that we talk about, you know, commercial grade quality. Windriver has a global support organization with, you know, a good number of hundred of, you know, engineers and, you know, engineers in our sustaining team that do maintain our product. So you're talking about 30 support hubs worldwide, so you can pick up the phone in case you have a problem and, you know, there's someone locally in your language that will help you out. And why is that important? Because you're building your device and you have specific problems. And the community is fantastic for addressing generic problems. But, you know, they might not be aware of your specific device problem. So you really need to have a peer-to-peer, one-on-one type of communication if you want to meet your time to market. So that's the value of a global support organization. 200 and plus experienced support engineers in that organization. And then on top of it, you have the typical set of development lifecycle solutions, like an Eclipse-based IDE, which, you know, we name Windriver Workbench, a best-in-class IDE based on Eclipse, platform validation packs through test management that will basically allow you to keep validation of your software as you modify Windriver Linux 5 and make sure that it, you know, meets the functional equivalence with the YOTA project Windriver Linux 5 platform. And then, of course, you have additional target simulation technology like Windriver Simics. So think about the Yocto project being the core, the white box, Yocto project compatibility to guarantee interoperability with other Yocto project compatible products, and then all the red boxes. And those red boxes are the value adds, the Wind River adds around the Yocto project runtime and tools.
Okay, so let me see whether I can summarize some of the main points that you've just made, and I think you actually have a slide that summarizes it. So if I compare the Yocto project with Wind River Linux on the kind of core user space packages, the kernel, and the tool chain, you know, the main Wind River value add is really a hardening process, an extensive test process that eliminates bugs, fixes the certain packages, and then you know, packages them for the customers. And that is being done over a large number of development hosts, you know, commercial grade QA to allow people wanting to use a Yocto compatible distribution and get all the benefits of using Yocto in a for a real device. Then the other main benefits that I heard you talk about is really around long-term customer support and maintenance, including SLAs. You know, making sure that if I want to build a device that's in market for 5 or 10 years, that if I have any issues, you know, I can call on Wind River to help me out and make sure that I also have a mechanism to you know, regularly on a monthly basis actually get the latest service packs as well as security fixes included. And then the other thing that really stood out for me was the commercial IP review and license disclosure documentation. You know, if I need to ship the box internationally, a lot of my buyers might actually have purchasing requirements that you know, require me as a device manufacturer to provide documentation that proves the provenance of the code, what kind of licensing is associated with it, and then certainly, you know, the rest of the Wind River Linux tools that that the company provides for analysis, simulation, compilation, and debugging and testing. I think those are kind of the six main points, right, Davide?
Yep, you pretty much named them all, so you're spot on.
Right. So and then let's move on. I mean, Linux still has a perception that Linux is free.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, free as freely available, and it's Linux is so popular because it can implement so many functionalities that you didn't have to reinvent the wheel all the time, right? You can go there and basically, you know, fetch what you need, and most of the time you're pretty much done. The thing is that when you do so, you are starting from a very huge code base. Most of the time, you know, you probably need 30% of those functionalities. Still, you inherit a huge code base. So I just put together something while I was, you know, preparing and setting up this presentation just to have a look at the, you know, main components of the code base that, you know, make Wind River Linux 5. So if you look at the Yocto project, it's, you know, 168,000 lines. So, you know, to build it from scratch, it takes 42 man years. It's a fantastic value. You should have 42 men in a year, you know, to build the same thing. Still, it's code that you inherit because when it's yours, it's yours. Now, it's you who has to fix the bugs, right? So if you look at the Open Embedded Core, just the technology, not the user space packages, 12 man years. It's, again, fantastic, you know, stimulus to go take it. And but, again, consider, you know, the cost to you. And then BitBay, you know, 40 man years. Now, the new compiler, it's, you know, 1,800 man years to build it from scratch. Fantastic tools collection. Now it's yours. And the kernel, 4,844 man years. And the new C library, 330 man years. So these numbers are taken from Olo, ohlosh.net. So these are public. You can go and check. Olo is a very good tool, you know, to go check how a community project is, you know, is doing, number of maintainers, commits a year, you know, code base, estimated cost, and gives you an idea if a project is becoming popular. But this code is huge. It's a huge amount of code that you take and you put in your device. And if there's a problem, now you got to find, you know, where's the, you know, line of code which is failing is among those 8,000, you know, what is 22 million lines of code that you have available in your device, without considering the fact that, you know, owning the code takes time. So when you start, you got to acquire the knowledge of the code base. How do I implement a specific functionality? Is that documented? Let me go fetch information on Google, for instance, or, you know, on the community, on IRC. So there's plenty of way you can do. It's still taking time. And then time to make it work again and again and again. You know, as your platform evolves from, you know, generation 1 to generation 5, you know, you got to make it work again, again, and again. And then the time to track, to fix, to maintain the code that you haven't built and you have gotten to know, but you've gotten to know based on your specification. So you don't know still probably 70% or 80% of that code base that you inherit. And so this concept is important because actually we do this for you. So it is true. I mean, Linux is free because it's freely available, but yet it requires cost, you know, of enablement and maintenance. So if you look at, you know, per release, Wind River has, you know, has an effort of pretty much 4 man-years just for the initial developer, 2 man-years for the initial quality, the yearly maintenance, pretty much 9 man-years, security monitoring fixes, 3 man-years. I'm not even counting for the development tools, IP expert regulation that we've seen are a good value. Support is 20 man year. So each release of Wind River Linux is, you know, alive in the market for at least 5 years. That's our, you know, typical life cycle. So per release, it's pretty much, you know, around 166 man years. And that's, you know, time that we and effort that we spend for you. And this is, you know, what you had to go through in any case. So, you know, it's why doing it? I mean, why doing it yourself? We've seen that, you know, this features and, you know, technology is pretty much commodity zone. So we do harden and fix it and, you know, and maintain it for you. So that's the value. And so remember, free, freely available, yes, but it requires effort and time to, you know, maintain it and fix it and, you know, keep it alive for years and years and years like our customers have to do.
All right, so let me see whether I can summarize the points that you just made. So for Wind River Linux 5, you know, the key assertion, it's all about total cost of ownership, and by being Yocto-based, we allow a device manufacturer to generate a next-generation embedded Linux device with a great reduction in total cost of ownership. A lot of it is driven by the base, Wind River Linux, and Yocto, I'm sorry, and creating a high-quality Linux distribution with extensive BSP support. I think WDA said something like 29 initial BSPs right off the bat. Then Wind River offers a mechanism to proliferate fixes and updates, including the very important security enhancements very quickly. And then the third point that I heard you emphasize was all about the global support options for the life of the platform, no matter how long it is.
Yep.
All right.
And spot on.
Good. So, you know, we have more information certainly available, but I think at this time I'd like to hand it off to Kurt. I saw that we have a number of questions coming in, and maybe we can start for the last 15 minutes, go over the questions.
Excellent. Very good. Yeah, we do have some good questions, and we encourage you to continue to ask them. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Let's start with a question for Chris. There's a couple of questions I'll try to combine here. There's a question about do you just ask your hardware platform supplier if his drivers are Yocto compliant, or is it more kernel Linux related than it is hardware platform drivers related in terms of compatibility with Linux builds and things like that?
You know, hardware platform supplier can mean a lot of things, but there are a number of companies that are committed to Yocto, providing Yocto compatibility. And if you have a BSP provider or an SoC provider in your supply chain, then absolutely we would encourage you to ask whether his drivers are Yocto compliant or even have been or even hosted on the Yocto project side. Davide, what's your answer on this?
Yeah, so it's I think, you know, I just pushed on the screen that a slide that can help clarify. So for a commercial operating system, you have to have pretty much, you know, all of these layers that you see here, you know, to be functional, right? You got to provide a build system, you got to provide the packages and the kernel. So Yalta Project Compatible there means I do ship Yalta Project kernel, I do ship the Yalta Project toolchain or I'm compatible with that, and there's the build system of the Yalta Project, and, you know, it's my environment is the environment that is Yalta Project compatible, which will build Yalta Project compatible images. For a BSP, for instance, it's kind of different because the BSP can be encapsulated in a layer. You can see the layer, the third layer, you know, from the bottom there. It's a hardware specific BSP. So you don't have to ship a kernel. You don't have to ship a toolchain. You usually ship patches against the Yalta Project LTSI kernel, and you make sure that your BSP can build against the Yalta Project 4.6 toolchain. You know, so you basically want to make sure and ask your vendor, can you provide me, you know, with a Yalta Project compatible layer? And that's the minimum you can do. If you ship to me a Yalta Project distribution as well that includes the layer, it's even better because I can, you know, I don't have to download the Yalta Project from the Git repository and then install the layer on top and then build. But the very key point is, can you provide me Yalta Project compatible BSP? And it's pretty much a layer. So it's a directory that contains patches against the kernel and the toolchain that the Yalta Project has.
Okay, I see. Davide, here's a question about Wind River and if you've seen development efficiencies within Yocto compliance. Is it the same amount of work to support this? Are you seeing any efficiency gains, or is this really just for the end users?
We have, and you should ask us for the pricing. Of course, not today, but you know, my recommendation is to go, you know, ask for more information. If you have a Wind River sales representative, go ask for it. You will see that the efficiency is pretty much reflected, you know, in the price.
Okay, Chris, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons why we actually adopted Yocto. You know, one of the challenges that you have to deal with when you're building embedded Linux distributions is that it takes a lot of time to build a really quality distribution. And by using Yocto as a base, we were able to actually accelerate our product release process quite dramatically, and bring you know, the goodness and the benefits of Wind River and open source to a new class of embedded device manufacturers.
Okay, I see. Here's a question that's specific to ARM. Is there any plans to support ARM Cortex A8? And maybe both of you can elaborate on just does Yocto do anything in terms of processor support, or is it pretty much across the board?
Do you want to take it, Kurt?
Why don't you
start?
Yeah, so Yocto is cross-platform. So, you know, today it supports the main four architectures. So we said, you know, ARM is, of course, one of those. And there's MIPS, and there's PowerPC, and there's x86. So, and most of the time, what happens in the ARM world or any other worlds, like the Intel world, so the support for new architectures are pushed mainstream, are pushed against the kernel or pushed against, you know, the toolchain mainstream. So what Yocto does, you know, it's just fetching from mainstream, collecting that best of the breed technology under the Yocto project, surrounding it with the build infrastructure. So, you know, it pretty much, you know, it doesn't add anything to what's available mainstream.
Right.
It just, you know, puts a nice seal around it and seal the deal so that you can cross-build, you know, and you have all of the collection of tools that you need. So, and usually on the ARM world, this enablement activity is done by the Linaro group. So if you think about Linaro and Yocto, they're two separate entities, and they're very complementary because Linaro enables ARM technology in the open source world by contributing mainstream, you know, architecture support in the toolchain, kernel, and so forth. Yocto project takes what's available and surround with a common build system and cross, you know, compilation set of tools and recipes so that you can benefit from that enablement activity coming from Linaro.
Okay, so it's really up to the community in terms of ARM Cortex A8 and PowerPC 3041 support, which is another question that just came in.
Pretty much. What happens is that in the Yocto project, you have ARM licensees, for instance. And so the ARM licensees are building their, you know, SoCs based on the ARM technology. So those, like TI, for instance, or, you know, Freescale with their ARM platform. So what those guys do is, you know, making sure that those patches, that technology that they need to enable their SoCs, which are enabled in Yotto, are available in their Meta TI or Meta Freescale layer in Yotto.
Okay.
So the gluing factor is done by the licensee in this case.
Okay. Very good. Here's a question about if somebody had a platform project for commercial hardware like ATCA blades based on a previous version of Wind River Linux, what's the amount of work needed to migrate into Wind River Linux 5?
That's a super fantastic question. So let me be very straight. We rip and replace the technology and replace with the Yotto project, but we have, we're the market leader commercial vendor Linux in the embedded, so we have a set of customers that we care about. In our testing, during our testing activity, we've taken, it's Lemon Demo or Lemon Server Demo. Don't ask me why that, where this is coming from. But basically, it's a test case that contains all of the possible, use cases that we usually cross-test across releases during our regression testing. And we made sure that we passed all the tests for that demonstration layer, during our QA with Wind River Linux 5. In addition to this, we have developed a migration tools that it's available through our, field engineering organization. So, current customers can easily come to us, come to evaluate Wind River Linux 5, and we will assist, with the migration tool and, the migration hassles that, they might be facing. We minimize them. We try to minimize them. I'm not excluding that, there would be a specific case that will, we had to run into troubles, but we're more than happy to assist our customers in this activity.
Okay. Chris, do you have any comment on that in terms of just the general migration strategy for Wind River and how you update through the process for these releases from Wind River's perspective?
Sure. I mean, and for anybody migrating from Wind River Linux 4 to 5, as Davide was saying, we have a dedicated migration tool and then also field engineering and support resources available to make that migration as seamless as possible.
Okay.
In general, from a release frequency perspective, Yocto updates every 6 months. We are committed to meeting the Yocto update schedule. We also have a mechanism to provide monthly security updates or other patch updates. So, what Yocto really allows us is to always be fresh and to reflect the latest, Linux versions that the customer might need.
Okay, very good. Here's a question about if it's related. So they're on a different Linux distribution, but the portability across platforms and the build environments seem to be extremely valuable for them. What exactly are the steps to get there, and how does Wind River fit into that kind of process?
So this is the question about CentOS. So again, CentOS, you install this distribution, right? So you install on your host. Well, in this case, I assume it's an x86, it's an Intel target. So you install on your target. And then you basically, you don't have a cross-build environment, right? So assuming that you had to take that distribution onto a different architecture or onto a different, Intel silicon, then you got to start from scratch. You got to reinstall, right? But
right.
The concept there is installing. So in the embedded world, really you want to cross-build, not install, because it's the way you can gain control over your software and make sure that from the same very software you can cross-build for all of the devices that you have. That's why in the embedded world you cross-build rather than install. Right. So you basically achieve that cross-portability by shifting to a cross-build paradigm. And the Yotto project provides all of the tools and all of the technology to do so, and we include that, those tools and technologies, of course.
Okay. Very good. There's a question about the Workbench Eclipse IDE and how is the availability of that moving forward with Wind River Linux?
So Workbench is available with Wind River Linux 5. As I said, it's one of the big value that we have. We have a very, we still have a good lead time because I stated that, previously, I'm not sure it was, highlighted enough, so let me highlight it again. So the community is very good at addressing general problems.
Mm-hmm.
right? So if you have anything which is general, the community is fantastic, and you know, the community has a horsepower and an energy that no one can catch up with it.
Right.
But our customer has very specific needs, right? So the need of looking at the memory register, or the need of, you know, complementing and looking at different data coming together from a tracing and, you know, memory leak perspective, you know, that's a very specific use case that, you know, Windriver has very solid experience, you know, of building these type of tools in the past 30 years. So Workbench is still, you know, providing a very good value to our customers because it enables this, tooling experience by using open source technology. So we use Ptrace for debugging, we use LTTNG, Strace for tracing, MPatrol, OPROFILE for CPU profiling and memory leaking, you know, Ftrace, and then you can name open source technology. These are on the target, but the Workbench IDE does the fantastic job of taking all the data together, combining and providing, you know, very useful information to our customers. So yes, it's still a value. Workbench 333 comes with Windriver Linux 5 in the box, and we'll keep going and we'll keep evolving that IDE. And you know, and if the community moves up the chain, we'll try to be innovator, above.
Sure. Okay. Very quick last question here. Which version of Yocto is Windriver Linux 5 based off of currently?
Oh, that's a good question. So actually, you can go and find on the Yocto Project website. So just go on Google and look for Yocto Project branding or Yocto Project compliance. You will see the company that have registered against Yocto Project compatibility. Windriver Linux 5 is registered as Yocto Project compatible product against Yocto Project 1.2, which is the very latest version of it. We'll be in the position to move to 1.3 when 1.3 comes out. And of course, the Yocto Project registration document that we're using to achieve that registration is the version 1.0, release 1.0, which is the one that has already, that's just been announced.
Okay.
During LinuxCon. So Yocto Project 1.2 is the answer.
Very good. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Excellent questions from the audience. We do have additional ones, and I'm sure Windriver will be getting back to you. If not, please reach out to them with those additional questions. That brings us to the conclusion today. I'd like to thank our presenters for sharing great insights into Windriver Linux 5 and the Yocto project. We and the presenters also want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing those questions remotely. The Zcast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen, and an online version will also be made available. We'll also have an audio version, podcast version. You can do a web search using the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media e-casts available for download as MP3s. Thank you for attending and have a great day.